everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you. Maybe it's the rainy weather, but it kind of puts you in the Christmas spirit, doesn't it? Merry Christmas, everybody, and Happy Hanukkah. Hope things are going well. Many people started the Christmas holiday a little early this week, but if you're still working and ready to call it quits here probably tomorrow, maybe a half day, I hope you have a great Christmas and Hanukkah weekend coming up. Ray Allen is with me. Ray, of course, our engineer producer on the other side of the glass, and together we do welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It is Thursday. It's the 22nd of December, 2016. We're going to encourage you to call in your questions over the next hour at 790-2040. We'll be talking in the first half hour about city business. City of Tucson Councilmember Richard Fimbres, Democrat Ward 5, is on our live line. We'll go to him in a moment. Then we have Arizona's Superintendent of Public Instruction. In other words, the top school official in the state will be with us at 12:30. So we've got lots of content to cover. Let's go now to the live line and Councilmember Richard Fimbres. Councilmember, how are you today?
Merry Christmas to you, Bill.
Same
to you.
And
Happy Hanukkah to all your listeners out there. This is a great time to be in Tucson, and thank you for all the work you've done in our community. You and Ray Allen have done a great job of getting our information and our news out and showing what issues are very important to Tucsonans and Pima County residents, and we really appreciate your work and your efforts.
Thank you very much. We
and
try
I hope you have a blessed holiday and safe and relaxing one for all your folks there, Doug Martin and Mary Martin and all the folks that work at the KVOI and especially your radio talk show.
Well, thank you very much. We certainly try to put out a terrific product every day that's very informative. Are you excited about this news of TEP jumping in and saying,
great shot in the arm, and TEP, you know, those folks have always been very big leaders in our community, and we thank them for doing that. As for 5 years, of my understanding is, the Festival of Lights, and then they also promote their own energy type programs that they have, which is so important in today's economy and today's way of people living. You know, everything's plugged in now. We're on battery, so we need them so much in our community.
Was this the last council meeting of the year that we had earlier this week?
Yes, sir. January 10th will be the next one. Into the new year we will go. So we've done some good stuff on the council. I want to thank my colleagues and the mayor. I think we've been very proactive in trying to meet all the needs of our good citizens in our community and trying to work on issues that will improve their quality of life.
Did the Raytheon deal get signed off yet at this meeting?
I think there's a couple things that they're still working on that will come back to us. But I think it's a good deal. I know it's over 1,900 jobs. It's coming into my ward, Ward 5. So that's going to be very good for our economy and for our community. And so I know I've talked to some of the executive staff over at Raytheon, and we're eager to work together.
So there's just some legal things that have to be ironed out. Is that your understanding?
Yeah, I think I forgot what I need to follow up with the city manager to find out what the other things are. But I think it's just legalese right now.
How are we doing now officially with the sales tax increase proposal going to the ballot? That will be official, correct?
Yes, mayor and council voted to put the measure forward May 17th. It would be for a half cent for 5 years, raise about $50 million a year. The breakdown would be 60% for public safety and 40% for roads. Roads breakdown would be 60% for arterials and 40% for residential, which is a lot better than what we did with 409, where we gave 85% to arterials and only 15% to residentials. And then, you know, we've had three public hearings, three town hall meetings, and have been held, and we wanted to hear from the community. And so it unanimously went forward, and it passed. And come January, we're going to be looking at the ballot language. And keep in mind that Marana and Oro Valley already have a tax rate of, which is 2.5.
The police chief, Mr. Magnus, has said that the aging fleet is really causing problems there, huh?
Yes, we have an aging fleet with police and fire. And what we want our good citizens to know is that it's not going to deter us from meeting their needs and getting there to any emergency situation that they may have. But we do need to look at this thing. And our formula hasn't worked for keeping the fleet balanced because of our, you know, the economic situation we're coming out of. So we need to really invest in our capital programs.
So some of the money would go to road projects, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh.
It would go, like I said, the breakdown would be 60% of the road projects. 60% would go to arterials and 40% would go to residentials. But the majority of the 60% of the half cent would go for public safety. 60% would go for public safety and 40% for roads. And we're still, and that's just a drop in the bucket, Bill. Mm-hmm. We still need a lot of work on it. And every time we have a rain, we have more potholes.
Yeah, that's
for
sure.
We love the water, and we're doing more water harvesting to keep the water, but it damages our roads and our streets. And we also have more people here for the holiday seasons, which we enjoy, because they're spending time in our hotels, eating in our restaurants, and generating sales tax for us. And they're shopping in our stores, so that's great. But it also puts wear and tear on our streets.
So are we're coming into year four of the road bond project, is that correct?
I believe so.
And
we have one more year left on it.
Okay, so we've made a lot of progress. I mean, it looks like road work pretty much going on all over town.
Exactly. We have additional crews that we're working. We're trying to get as many roads as we can fix, but those are major arterial roads. And we're doing some, like I said, only 15% is going to residential. And the outcry we're hearing from a lot of the citizens is, what about the potholes in my streets? You know, on my major roads. So those are things that we're looking at also that still need work. And Daryl Cole and Transportation have done a real good job for us, but, you know, we were behind the eight ball when we started this thing, and we're still going to be there.
What about the budget now coming into kind of at the midway point of the fiscal year? How is the city's budget picture?
We're going to get another budget report in February after the Christmas sales. And it should come in stronger, but, you know, we have a balanced structural budget this time around. But we also have the Hayes issue with the retirement lawsuit still pending that's going to impact us, too, in the next year. So that impacts our budget. But we've been, like I said, the city lives off sales tax. So we have to work with the business community to generate sales tax and to keep programs that are so vital to our citizens running. So those are things that we're looking at. But the budget, and I know our city manager, Mike Ortega, has done a real good job, and all our department directors in managing this and being very frugal. You know, when I started this campaign, mm-hmm. when I started in 2009 in this seat, we had about 6,600 employees. We're down to about 4,400 now. And we're being, you know, we're working smarter, but with, and we're doing more with less, and that has a wear and tear on our staff and also on our equipment. So those are things that we have to look at, and that's one of the reasons why we're looking at this sales tax.
But would you say this is the most encouraging economic picture right now for the county in a very long time?
Yes, and I know that we went over and looked at the U of A's. Forecast last week, and they're very encouraging. The forecast looks very promising for us, and things are going. But we got to keep that momentum rolling, and that's why we need to get the equipment that our police and fire folks need, and we continue to fix on our roads and streets. The other thing we have to look at is the other services we provide with parks and recreation. We have a lot of pools that need services too. And basically, we've been band-aiding some of these areas, and now we need to get those things done so we can provide better services to our citizens.
You've been pushing this Tucson Homeless Work Program. How is that going?
Well, we started it. We kicked it off on December 6th, but we've been working on it for about 6 months prior to that. And it came out of the Homeless Coalition meetings that we've been holding since October of 2015. And it's basically similar to a model that they use in Albuquerque to try to go out and have a van. We pick up folks that want to work, and we pay them a wage, $9 an hour for 5 hours of work, and then we feed them. And since St. Andrews has offered to use their mobile shower, we shower them. And they also have a change. They can also get a change of clothing. So this helps them, and then we can also direct them to other services. within our system. So it's been working, and we've had some positive comments about it. We launched it, and I'll tell you a little bit about it. Success stories. We had one client from the 12-6 group get enrolled in Access that day, 3 days later, and has started the Sullivan-Jackson Employment Program. One client from the 12-8 and 12-15 group entered permanent housing on 12-14. One client from the 12-8 group completed a nutritional assistance application on 12-12. One client from the 12-13 group completed an Access application the morning of 12-14. And one client from the 12-8 group has gathered enough money with the program to go back to his home state and visit family. Mm. And one client from the 12-15 group is still starting Volk Rehab by the end of the month.
All right.
So these are good stories for folks that have been out there. We've also had 45 sites visited. Trash collected about 1,600 pounds, and we've averaged six people a day working.
All right. Well, that's good encouraging news there, Councilman. Hang on the line there, and we're going to take our break here. But before we do, there's still time to get some beautiful holiday decorations over at Green Things, our friends over at Green Things, 3384 East River Road. They have some beautiful poinsettias that are on sale right now. So if you don't have any poinsettias in your home and you would like some, this would be a great opportunity to go by Green Things just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, greenthingsaz.com. They have their beautiful location on 13 acres, and you will find everything you need to make it a very merry, green Christmas at Green Things.
Did you know that this year you can give more charitable tax credit dollars than ever before and claim a dollar-for-dollar credit on your Arizona state taxes? The Arizona Charitable Tax Credit Coalition, a group of 31 local charities, encourages you to put your state tax dollars to work in our community. It's easy. Feel good when you give at givelocalkeeplocal.org. That's givelocalkeeplocal.org.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. And with almost 60 flights a day taking off from Tucson International Airport nonstop to San Diego, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Oakland, San Francisco, Salt Lake City, Denver, Portland, Seattle, Dallas, Houston, Minneapolis, Chicago, Atlanta, New York, and easy one-stop connections to hundreds of destinations around the world, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
The Regional Transportation Authority funds new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The RTA's 20-year plan also includes roadway improvement projects and expanded transit services to provide added convenience and accessibility. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region a better place to live, work, and play. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito River Walk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Hi, Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas.
Well, haven't heard that one in a long time. Mr. Otis Redding doing White Christmas. Good choice there, Ray. Ray Allen, our fine producer-engineer, with some of our seasonal bumper music today on the Buckmaster Show. On the live line, Tucson City Council member Richard Fimbres, Democrat Ward 5. Let's go to our live line, and David has called us, and David's been waiting patiently to speak with the councilman. Go ahead, David.
Hi, Mr. Fimbres. I've actually been defending the immigration resolution that you guys had this week because I don't really think it makes the cops do anything differently. But I was curious, if police were to pull someone over for a traffic violation and they found out that this person was undocumented, would they be required to detain the person until I showed up? Or what's your idea for what happened?
The immigration resolution that we voted on, it was to reaffirm the position previously taken on immigration. The mayor and council reaffirmed their support of TPD, their mission and policies, and that TPD conducts all its law enforcement activities in a manner that protects the civil rights, privileges, and immunities of all persons. School resource officers and TPD officers won't make immigration status inquiries during consensual contact with students or the public. There must be reasonable suspicion that a person is or has been or is about to engage in criminal activity before someone is stopped or detained by the police. So basically, David, we reaffirmed what the action we've been taking over the last few years. And I think that the city has been very proactive on immigration issues, along we've done with other civil rights issues and concerns that we've had in our community.
David,
this is also to kind of put back some assurance to the community that we're still be operating on this, and we've had folks panicking about what's going to happen in the future come 2017. So we wanted to reassure folks that we are going to be very cautious. And Chief Magnus and the mayor and Rahina had a press conference just to reaffirm this on last Tuesday.
David, does that answer your question?
Well, I'm just wondering about, like, you know, if someone does get pulled over and they're undocumented, and let's say they don't have a license because and in Tucson they didn't pass a voter ID law like Phoenix has, that person would then end up being detained and deported because they don't have a document. So, you know, I just see the same thing continuing to happen, for better or worse, but I don't really see anything changing.
Okay. Councilman, okay,
David,
final
David,
comment?
David, I think what we'll do is I'll get Chief Magnus to get a hold and give you specific on the situation and the process and the policy that we've been following. Because I haven't heard that, and I haven't received a lot of complaints in my office about this issue up to now. The only thing we have been receiving are concerns about what's going to happen in the future. And like we said, there was some panic in the community, and we're trying to rest assurance that this is not going to happen. And we're going to continue to be as diverse a community as we can be.
All right. So you can contact David Morales. Put the chief in contact with
this
Mr. Morales.
This is Three Sonorans, David Morales.
Yes,
right?
David Morales of Three Sonorans.
Happy Merry Christmas to you, David.
Yeah, David. David had to leave us, but I'm sure he's listening. So we'll pass along
or
that.
Feliz Navidad.
Yeah, there you go. What's going on with the hands-free cell phone law? Will that our proposed law? Will Tucson follow the lead of Pima County and Oro Valley there?
I think that we're moving in that direction. We passed to give it to the legal staff to bring forth back an ordinance that's going to be similar to what the other agencies have done, other communities, the governmental agencies have done to help us. You know, fatalities and injuries continue to rise, and since we eliminated the photo enforcement component either last year or the year before, we're starting to see in intersections again the rise of collisions. So this is something that will help bring those distracted drivers back to focus on just driving, and it's a challenge for folks nowadays because we train people to be multitasking all the time, but we want them to just focus on driving when they're on the road because, you know, there's so many things going on.
And that's your background, isn't it? You were involved very much with traffic safety.
Yes, sir. I was the Highway Safety Director for Jan Napolitano for 6 years, and then I did another 6 months with Jan Brewer. And we saw the number of injuries and fatalities drop because of our traffic enforcement, and it takes ordinances, laws that will help us to bring back the attention and have the focus, the driver's attention back on just driving. But there's other distractions, too. You know, if people would just focus on driving and put their phones down, put the sandwich down, put your makeup brush down and not read the newspaper while you're driving, this will help.
Yeah, and is there any word on getting rid of the poles that were previously used for enforcement of red light runners?
I know we stopped that, and they're not there, but I think that it's the cost that is precluding us from doing that. But I know the city manager has a plan that he's looking at for that.
Are you concerned about Tucson Mall losing their anchor, perhaps Macy's?
Yes, I'm hoping that I think that there's a talk about somebody else also coming in there, so that'll help us. Tucson is prime. We have the round trip to New York, direct flight now. We have the flights directly into Mexico that are really helping us bring in more tourism from our brothers and sisters across the border. So there's lots of positive things happening. You know, we got Home Goods in here. That's going to increase another 1,100 jobs in this year and next year. So that's going to help us. Caterpillar's has come in to help us. And it just in my ward alone, there's been 3,000 jobs created this year alone, if you include Raytheon, the Home Goods, and Century Mark Theater, just to name the three. Plus, you know, we got Lynn's Asian Buffet opening up the first week of January. We have Planet Fitness coming in, and also we'll have the first Dave and Buster's to come in 2017. So these are exciting times. And then we hear talk that the U of A is going to get going on the biotech bioscience near the bridges. So that'll help us also.
Well, it's good to have Air Force coming in here for the bowl game as well.
Exactly. They're going to draw a lot of folks. And they'll like our community, and I know that a lot of those folks have bought houses and purchased houses down here because, it freezes up there in their neck of the woods.
Oh, yeah. In the remaining minute or so, what will be then the iconic kind of marquee issue, do you believe, for the city council to deal with in 2017?
It'll still be budget. Mm-hmm. And how do we get back to where we were prior to the Great Recession and working on things and bringing back services that are needed for our community? It'll be budget and looking at how we're going to pay for a lot of the services that we do provide. And we're looking at transit and coming up with a better formula for that. Police and fire Public safety is key, and our roads and streets are key. Plus, water is another issue that is going to be endeared not only to us and is endeared to us, but the rest of the state and the rest of the region. So there are things that our water people are doing that are really have led the way for the rest of the state and for the region, and we're very proud of those guys.
So you think a Metropolitan Public Transit Authority might be considered?
Yeah, there's things about that, and the reason why we're looking at a five-year sales tax instead of a 7 or 10 years is because it'll tie into what the RTA is planning on and looking at doing. So this will help them. And we got to start looking at regionally because no one government entity has the resources to do what we used to do. We got to start looking at how we do services and how we can better do them and more efficiently.
All right, Councilman Fimbres, I want to wish you and your fine family, you and yours, all the very best this Christmas and New Year's. Hope it's a great one for you.
Thank you, Bill. And I want to do a shout-out to all the folks that have helped us with the Tucson Homeless Work Program and also with the blanket drive that we just completed that got the blankets in here for the shortage that we had. And I want to thank our community overall because this Tucson, what I love about it is we don't point fingers, we don't scapegoat, we don't place blame on others. When we have a situation, we just roll up our sleeves and solve it together.
All right.
And that's what makes us unique. And bless you, Bill, and your fine staff there with Ray, and have a good Merry Christmas and a Happy Hanukkah.
Thank you very much. All the best to you. Thank
Bye-bye.
You, sir. Councilman Richard Fimbres with us. Next up, Diane Douglas, Arizona Superintendent of Public Instruction. Lots to talk about on the education front. But right now, we take our mid-show break and listen to a little holiday music.
And tinsel glow, paint a yuletide valentine. Back home I go, those I know, for a Christmas auld lang syne.
Food for the hungry, help for struggling families, and support for the aging. Every day, Interfaith Community Services helps people in need achieve stable, healthy, and independent lives. Hi, I'm Daniel Stalsfus, CEO at ICS. You can help and get a dollar-for-dollar tax credit when you donate to ICS with the Arizona Charitable Tax Credit. Reduce your state taxes up to $800 for a couple or $400 for singles. To donate, go to ICSTucson.org or call 297-6049. Your help will bring hope and change lives.
Enjoy the most magical time of the year with friends and family at Tohono O'Toole's annual Holiday Nights. Listen to musical performances as you stroll through the gardens decked with over a million twinkling lights. Holiday Nights takes place the first three Fridays and Saturdays in December from 5:30 to 8:30. Shop local this holiday season. Our museum shops are full of local art and unique gifts, including annual memberships to Tohono O'Toole. Tickets and event information are available at tohonoochule.org/holidaynights.
The excitement is building for the grand opening in early 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in early 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. You'll read stories from around the world ignored by the mainstream media. Stories from the Gatestone Institute, the Washington Free Beacon, the Washington Times News Service, and other great outlets. It is world news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. Almost 60 flights take off every day from Tucson International Airport and announcing the newest destination, New York.
American Airlines, now boarding nonstop to JFK.
Daily nonstop service to New York starts October 7th with connections across the Atlantic and throughout the Northeast. Now with 18 nonstop destinations from Tucson, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs.
Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Friday at noon, we meet Pima County's new sheriff, Mark Napier. Our Friday roundtable features Dan Shear of the Green Valley News and Dylan Smith of TucsonSentinel.com. Matt Russell has Weekend Watch Buckmaster noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice.
So this is Christmas, and what have you done? Another year over, and new one just begun.
Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah, everybody. It is Bill Buckmaster. It's the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI. We're worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com and KVOI.com. We're going to be talking about education for the next half hour. If you would like to join on the live line, 790-2040, we have with us the Arizona Superintendent of Public Instruction, Diane Douglas. Superintendent Douglas, on our live line, how are you?
I'm great, Bill. How about yourself?
I'm doing very well. Thank you very much for asking. Characterize for me and our listeners this first year. I know that you traveled really from one end of Arizona to the other, visiting pretty much 15 different locations statewide, just to hear from parents and others concerned about education in this state. And what was the message that you heard, Superintendent Douglas?
Well, and we've actually done three tours around the state now, spring of 2015, fall of 2015, and then throughout 2016. I've been on every border of the state, and it's been a wonderful experience getting out and talking to the citizens of Arizona. Overwhelmingly, what we heard from them, the loudest message was Arizonans want their teachers paid better.
Mm-hmm. And they want to keep teachers and recruit good teachers, don't they?
Absolutely. And one of our goals here at the department is to work with our certification team to make the actual process itself as painless, you know, filling out the paperwork, doing the forms, the clerical type work. We want that to be easy for teachers, but we want to make sure we hold the high standards for our teachers for their qualifications. So we're working towards those goals.
Let's talk about one of your centerpieces of this 2016 and looking ahead to 2017. It's called 2017 Arizona Kids Can't Wait, Your Education Plan. Let's get into it.
Sure.
Where do we begin? What are some of the pieces that you think are the most important?
Well, the key pieces clearly are the funding. We came out with multiple proposals. The first one was for some funding that would allow locally elected school boards to use it to best address their issues. A couple of things we know are teacher salaries, obviously. Many school districts are funding all day or providing all day kindergarten without the funding to go along with it. And another piece of that picture is the impact of Prop 206 that the voters approved that will increase minimum wage, and that will greatly impact our school districts. The district I was on the board of, Peoria, they expect that to be well over $1 million just to address the minimum wage bump. So we have some general funding. We're looking at some funding $140 million just to increase teacher salaries. We were hoping for a 5% increase for our teachers. We have funding for the rural areas. As I've traveled around the state, I know that they face issues unlike those of us in the urban areas. A piece of that is transportation funding, just because of the wear and tear and the long miles on their buses and getting bus drivers. And then the piece I think that I'm most passionate about is capital funding and restoring funding for the school facility board to help maintain and build our schools. As we looked at that area, we, since the recession, actually I think it was since 2007, only $1 million has been allocated a year across the state to fix building deficiencies. And that's just not adequate for a state our size. And, you know, the school facility board was the result of a lawsuit back in the early to mid-90s, and maintaining buildings is the responsibility of the state, but yet the school facility board has not been funded, and that forces school districts to go to their local taxpayers to run bonds in order to make sure that the buildings are safe and sound.
I can't believe it's only been $1 million for the whole state for preventive maintenance and getting the schools the products they need. That's terrible.
For the deficiency funding, that's all they've put in. And another tweak that they made, I don't mean to get into the weeds, but where that funding, the maintenance funding, was automatic in the past and it was sent out to the schools, now it's done on a grant type of system where the schools actually have to come in and apply for a grant to maintain their schools. To me, that's not the right way to run the system. We know that all our schools need some degree of maintenance every year, just like your home does.
So is the state charged then with helping school districts with their maintenance and buildings?
Yes, under Roosevelt v. Bishop, which was a lawsuit from the early to mid 90s, the building and maintenance of schools became the responsibility of the state, and that's how the school facility board was created. And it needs to be funded to meet those needs to a certain level. Now, if the taxpayers in a district wanted to run a bond to go over and above what the state offers, you know, I can't think of an example, you know, upgrade their gymnasium or something like that, that they can do. But the base support level is supposed to be at the state level.
Let's talk about the funding now as we get ready for the new legislative session. Where will education be on, from what you understand, on the lawmakers' agenda? Is it going to be a front burner issue? I hope it will be.
Well, what we've heard from the governor is that new money is that we have will be an education priority with him. So we hope that message resonates. You know, when I came out with my plan, no one really has objected to the ideas, but, you know, the concerns are where will the money come from? And, you know, bless them, that's the role of the legislature. It's not an easy task. I don't envy them having to figure out how the pie gets divided. But nonetheless, I would be remiss in my duties as the superintendent if I were not bringing to them the issues that are very important in our schools and our districts.
Let's go to our live line. Ingrid has a question for Superintendent Douglas. Go ahead, Ingrid.
Hi, it's a tad convoluted, but I would like to know, on what basis is any sum of money given out to any school or system under any kind of program, whether it's a grant or automatically delivered by the state? How is it determined what is actually needed? And I'll take the devil's advocate position here. Would writing a grant for specific issues with a school system, be advisable, be preferred? I'll hang up and listen. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Okay, if I understand the question correctly, a lot of the funding that goes out to schools goes out based on what's called average daily membership, that the districts count their student enrollment and count the, you know, number of students, and not only just the number, but certain students have what they call a weighting factor. So if maybe they have a disability, the district maybe provided more funding for that student to help meet that child's needs. And much of the funding goes out like that based on student counts. So it's proportioned appropriately. And to the part of the maintenance being sent out by grants, I guess my issue with that is, to me, there's kind of winners and losers in that system. But really, every single district has some maintenance needs. One may need to put on new roofs. One may need new air conditioners. One may need new flooring, whatever the case may be. And they should have some money in their system that comes to them in an allocation to make sure they can meet those needs and maintain their buildings.
All right. Still lots to talk about with Superintendent Douglas. She has kindly agreed to stick around for our next segment. We are going to take a break right here on the Buckmaster Show. We will be right back with Diane Douglas. And if you'd like to join in the conversation, 790-2040.
Somebody's going to make a happy trip tonight while the moon is bright. He's gonna have a bag of crazy toys to give the corners of the girls and boys all day. Santa comes on day.
Did you know that this year you can give more charitable tax credit dollars than ever before? And claim a dollar-for-dollar credit on your Arizona state taxes. The Arizona Charitable Tax Credit Coalition, a group of 31 local charities, encourages you to put your state tax dollars to work in our community. It's easy. Feel good when you give at givelocalkeeplocal.org. That's givelocalkeeplocal.org.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kevin Lehman. You know, I've written 36 books. One of my best, I think, is Have a New Kid by Friday. Hit the New York Times bestseller list. Maybe you'd like a new home by Friday. Maybe you're driven up the wall by bugs and the pests that Tucson, Arizona has. Hey, do yourself a favor. Call my friend Shelby Hawkins at 5-Star Termite and Pest Control.
New 5-Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. This year, the Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 10 years of delivering projects across our region. More than 755 multimodal projects help you reach your destinations. By delivering both mobility and economic benefits to communities throughout Pima County, the RTA unquestionably makes a difference in our region. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Experience the best of the Canadian Rocky Mountains with the rail journey on Rocky Mountaineer. You'll travel alongside the powerful Kicking Horse River and pass by monumental landmarks from the early days of the National Railway. On this legendary route, you'll see postcard images around each bend, including stays in picturesque Lake Louise, with scenic tours of Jasper National Park, and much more. Contact Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Rocky Mountaineer rail journey today. Bon Voyage Travel, your travel experts.
Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Winter weather, so the two of us can get together. There's nothing sweeter, finer.
The great Tony Bennett, who is 90 years old and still performing, bless his heart. And it's wonderful to hear Tony Bennett any time of the year, but of course now he's singing about winter, and we are officially here in winter in Arizona. Diane Douglas is with us, Arizona Superintendent of Public Instruction, and we'll get back to speak with her in one moment. But first, I need and want to tell you about Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. It's just a 3-hour drive over there, and folks are going to have plenty of time over the Christmas, New Year's, time maybe for a road trip, kind of getaway. And it's a good drive over there, easy to do, and historic downtown Silver City. Lots to do, some great restaurants, some shopping, just sort of kick back. SouthwestNewMexico.org is the website. The full listing of the many places to stay. There are over 24 listings of great places and many things to do in the area. Check it out, SouthwestNewMexico.org. Superintendent Douglas, what's this about Arizona will become the first state in the United States to require teaching cursive handwriting? I actually like this move. I know some people say, oh, the kids don't need it right now. They're spending all their time texting and on devices. I think it's a good move. I like it.
Well, that is part of the new state standards that were adopted by the State Board of Ed on Monday to replace the Common Core standards.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that argument about cursive has been around for a long time, that people just don't need it. But the reality is, cursive writing is so much more than just a way to communicate. We also, research shows that the way it helps a child develop mentally, not only with the connections it makes in the brain, but with their motor skills, it goes so much beyond just the mere formation of letters. And it is just a vital part of our educational standards that were, for whatever reason, dropped. As we looked at that piece in the department, we realized even pre-Common Core Arizona standards, it was not in there. And the best that we could figure as we discussed that issue was that it should so go without saying that you would teach a child how to write,
mm-hmm.
that no one bothered to say, you must teach a child how to write. So it's back now. We are delighted in the new standards. Phonics reading instruction has greatly been enhanced and strengthened. And we are on a new road in Arizona for the education of our children.
You know, I think you're on to something. As I reflect back a million years ago to my elementary school days in first grade at Logan Elementary School in Wilmette, Illinois, the thing that I remember so much about those experiences is the handwriting and the special way that, you know, you were supposed to keep the handwriting within the lines. And I can still see that and do that as I'm signing a check or anything else I'm doing. It did resonate and stays with me my whole life.
Well, and that's a million years ago when I was in Evergreen Elementary School in Plainfield, New Jersey, and then another school there shortly thereafter. You know, it was one of those rites of passage that I remember from my early elementary years. First, it was, when can we learn how to write in cursive?
Mm-hmm.
And when can we start writing with a pen instead of using a pencil?
Yes.
but it's not just, again, we know for, you know, centuries ago, people fought and died for the right to be literate. And this is a piece of it, but it's not just, again, the form of communication. It's about all the other things that children receive from that in those motor skills and within their brain. It's just, it's vital. And we've done a disservice to our children not having that for so long.
Now, this was approved by the State Board of Education. Does this have to go before the legislature, or can it be mandated that way?
No, in Arizona now, state standards are adopted by the State Board of Education.
Okay.
And so they put a blessing on it on Monday, and we will start rolling it out to our teachers in our schools.
Tell me a little bit more about that meeting, and of course, the cursive handwriting was just a part of it. What were some of the other pieces, quickly, please?
Well, we've got every single standard in every single grade level was reviewed, and it was judged for whether it was developmentally appropriate at a certain age for a certain child, and then making sure, number one, that they were clear. What also will come with these new standards is a parent guide. So a parent can take a look and say, at kindergarten, my child should be learning this, 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 and this, or at second grade, this, 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 and this. So it's very clear and understandable for parents to know what they should see in quality education for their child. We've got one of the things that's still to come is when we talked about the Common Core standards, they called them college and career ready, and yet we knew they weren't university ready for students who were going in that direction, maybe in the science, technology, engineering, math, the STEM fields, because there were no standards for trig or calculus. And although those weren't approved by the board on Monday because they're not quite ready yet, we'll be bringing those forward to the board within the next month or so to make sure it's not just community college ready, but it's university ready too, if students want to go that direction.
What do you think the governor will have about education in the state of the state, which will kick off the legislative session? What are some of your inclinations?
Well, I hope he reads our plan. I'm sure he has looked through our plan, but I don't have a crystal ball, so we certainly hope he'll address funding. We certainly hope he'll look at some of the, as the legislature looks at funding, some of the things we're looking at as an agency is a little bit of funding for standards. The reason the federal government was allowed to take over the standards in Arizona is because they offered money with it, too, and we didn't have funding to write and create and maintain our own standards. So we're hoping that they'll consider that so we never get back in this boat again. But again, in my opinion, the most important thing that we do as a state is educate our children, and not just so that they can become, you know, college applicants or worker bees, but so that they can become great American citizens. And that's what it's all about. So we need to make sure that we do justice to them.
We're going to let you go, and we thank you very much, and I want to wish you and yours a wonderful Christmas and New Year's season, and hope 2017 turns out to be a really good year for Arizona's school kids and for all of us that do believe in education, Diane Douglas. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah, too, to all of your listeners, Bill. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Diane Douglas, Arizona's Superintendent of Public Instruction, with us on the Buckmaster Show. Tomorrow, we will be speaking on the Friday Focus interview with the Pima County Sheriff-elect, Mark Napier. We'll hear about his plans as he takes over the law enforcement, head of law enforcement in Pima County. That's coming up on the Friday Focus interview tomorrow on the Buckmaster Show. We do a lot of local talk here. We're very proud of our commitment in the community at KVOI to the local level. We have great national shows, but we have good shows too, great shows on our local level. And for Mike Check with Mike Shaw, coming up 4 to 5 this afternoon with Ray Allen, Wake Up Tucson, Christy Simone from 6 to 9, then Talking Culture from 9 to 10, our newest entry in the local talk show here on KVOI. I am Bill Buckmaster along with Ray Allen. Good afternoon and evening.